Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. You probably recognize Dennis Quaid, but you may not know much about him. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 9th, 2013. We begin an entertainment article today that you can find on pages 20 and 21 in your Advanced magazine. And we're profiling actor Dennis Quaid, Rookie No More. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, many of you, if you see Dennis Quaid or if you turn on the TV, turn on one of the movie channels and see a movie he's in, I'm sure you would recognize him. But maybe a lot of people here in Asia don't know his name, or they vaguely remember him from this movie or that movie. And he's an interesting character as far as his career and how it's gone. And he's famous but not famous.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing him, Bill.
Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking of a few movies I have seen here in Taipei that were packed out showing Dennis Quaid. So I think there was a few movies, I have the names of them, if we want to share them with the audience, that I think our audience would go, oh, yeah, I saw that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Lois Fisk, everybody. And, yeah, that's certainly, I think that describes, a lot of people would recognize, oh, I know that guy, but then they can't find a name.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm thinking that one movie that was a huge hit here was, two really, The Day After Tomorrow and Footloose, the newest Footloose.
Yes.
They were big hits here in Asia.
Yes.
So they would recognize him from those two movies.
Certainly The Day After Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves disaster films here. So that was a big seller and big hit at the box office.
And Footloose with all the music and the dancing.
Yeah. Okay. I think Brian Hagerle was in Footloose. He's a pretty good dancer, aren't you, Brian?
I was in the original Footloose.
With Kevin Bacon.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wish.
All right. I remember some of those moves you put on, so it was rather amazing. So, but you've lost a step, haven't you?
I've lost a step, unfortunately.
Or two.
Yeah. Or two.
You know, Brian, you've probably watched Dennis Quaid in some of his movies, right?
I have, and like Lois, I really like his versatility. My favorite, personal favorite, is probably In Good Company. I really liked his kind of tough role there.
Yeah. Well, he's got an interesting career, and if anything, I would say he's actually much more typical when it comes to Hollywood actors and actresses than the normal ones we think of. We might think of, Daniel Craig because of the James Bond movies, or we think of Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio, these guys who have achieved worldwide success and certainly worldwide recognition. But those are few and far between. There are far more many actors like Dennis Quaid who have some level of success. Actually, Dennis Quaid is near the top of the heap when you look at the whole pool of actors. He's done extremely well in that industry. However, he's always been under the cusp of the upper crust, right?
That's right. He hasn't been like a Tom Cruise or a Will Smith.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. With some of the women in my age group, he's kind of up there.
Well,
he is kind of up there.
Yeah. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, and we like to go see him because he seems real.
Seems
and he plays
real.
A lot of movies where it's authentic. He's real.
Seems like maybe a guy that could live in your neighborhood.
Exactly. Or you'd be friends with. Or maybe acts like your brother. Or
okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like Brian Hagerle.
Wow. All the ladies are going to want to see you, Brian.
Come into a neighborhood near you.
Brian is on Facebook, everybody, so check him out. Check out some of those Footloose moves, too. Well, let's check out our reading. So turn to page 20 in your magazine, and we will split our reading up into two sections today. And so our first reading will go down to line 25.
Dennis Quaid, Rookie No More. Dennis Quaid puts his experiences to good use in his latest film, At Any Price. There was a time in the late 1980s when each new film starring Dennis Quaid was the one. The one destined to make him not just an actor, not just an actor with guts and a wily, toothy Joker's grin, but a huge box office reliable star. In the summer of 1987, The One was the adventure fantasy, Inner Space, which turned out to be a medium hit. 2 summers later, it was the Jerry Lee Lewis biopic, Great Balls of Fire. Again, not a disaster, but not The One. Now 59, Quaid has grown into a different sort of star, tempered by ups and downs and in-betweens. Lately, the Quaid audiences first came to know in the lovely Breaking Away, 1979, and later as astronaut Gordon Cooper in the grandly eccentric film version of The Right Stuff, 1983, has pushed himself into challenging territory.
Well, that's what we like to do here on Advanced, push our listeners and readers into challenging territory. Okay, now, we start off with this title, Dennis Quaid, Rookie No More. Tell me about that title and that word in there, Lois.
Okay, I think a lot of our readers will know what rookie means because it's a person who is new to an organization or an activity, or most of us think a sport.
Yeah.
Okay, are you a rookie baseball player or rookie basketball player? As our listening audience can relate to here in Asia. And Dennis Quaid is a rookie no more in his career, in what he does for a living.
Okay. And there's a reason we use that term in the title, right, Brian?
I imagine they're referring to the famous role he played in The Rookie.
Yeah, it was a film that he had called The Rookie. It was about 12 years ago or something like that. And he was a high school baseball coach then who was trying out for Major League Baseball, which was kind of funny that he would be a rookie trying out at age 39, the actor. The role he was playing was as an old guy trying to make the team as a rookie.
Good movie. I loved it.
Yeah, I liked it too. Being a baseball fan, I really could appreciate that. So, now, what does the deck say, Brian?
It says Dennis Quaid puts his experiences to good use in his latest film, At Any Price.
Okay, so he is a veteran actor. He has been around since 1977. I checked out all of his roles as far as his 35 years in the film business as an actor, and actually the number is 77 films. So he has been in many, many films. It's hard to believe, but he's been a busy guy. So how do we start our reading, Brian?
Well, we talk about this time in the 80s when each new film with Dennis Quaid was expected to become The One.
Ooh. The One. Now, this is kind of funny here. You see capitalized The One. And I'm going to proceed with the next sentence or two before we really fully understand The One.
The One destined to make him not just an actor, not just an actor with guts and a wily, toothy Joker's grin, but a huge box office reliable star. That's interesting.
All right, so what are we talking about here, The One? Is that an actual film he was in?
No, Bill. We're talking about him becoming one of the top box office stars. If he's in a movie, it's going to hit the top of the box office. We have a few people like that now, like Tom Cruise or Will Smith. Unfortunately, that didn't quite work for him, but people still remember him as this actor, as it says, with his guts in a lot of action movies and his memorable grin.
Yeah. Now, first off, I would say when we say The One, okay, they're saying, okay, this is going to be the film that lifts him up to the upper levels of them. And give you some point of reference. For instance, we mentioned Leonardo DiCaprio earlier. Titanic was The One. For Leo.
Most definitely.
He had films before, but up until that point, he was known by.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's then Titanic.
Then Titanic. That's right.
Yeah. Titanic became The One. And so every actor is looking for that one film, right?
That's right, the one that's going to appeal to everybody. That makes me think maybe that's part of the thing, is because he's more of an actor's actor, so his movies maybe not appeal to as broad of an audience to
yeah.
be the one.
Yeah. Even going farther back, I think of like Harrison Ford. He was an actor, had success, was even in Star Wars with Han Solo, but Indiana Jones was the one.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that with Tom Hanks, the one for him was Big. I think everybody will say that was, it was his big film. It was called Big, and that kind of set him going.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. The One is not a movie anybody was in, but they're the one, that's the movie they're all hoping for. So, and we see that we describe him not just as an actor with guts and a wily, toothy Joker's grin, huh?
Yeah, okay. You know what? My description of Dennis Quaid's grin is quite similar to this. It's another term we sometimes use, bad to the core. It's kind of like meaning not really like he's a bad person, but he's got this little bit of twinkle in his eye and a little bit of a wink when he's giving you a smile.
Looks a little sly, a little clever, and maybe he's scheming. He's got a little scheme up his sleeve, right?
I think he's maybe a little bit of a practical joker with a smile like that.
Okay, so... And then we see here in the summer of 1987, The One was supposed to be another film.
It was supposed to be an adventure fantasy movie called Inner Space. And unfortunately, Bill, it turned out to be a medium level hit.
Okay. Not bad. Not a disaster. But at the same time, didn't quite deliver the promise everybody expected.
That's right. Not a mega hit.
That's why we say a medium hit.
Yeah, I don't even remember it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, which in a way is kind of a miracle considering how many films have been made.
Exactly.
That I would even remember the name. So, but it wasn't anything special. Two summers later, it was what?
Right. It was the biopic on Jerry Lee Lewis called Great Balls of Fire, which I do remember.
Okay. Who's Jerry Lee Lewis?
Jerry Lee Lewis was a singer. I guess you would kind of consider him rock and roll, country, blues, all wrapped up into one.
Yeah, he was a rock and roll piano player back in the 50s and 60s. And Great Balls of Fire was one of his big hits. Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire! And then he would be banging on the piano.
That's what all of us remember him about.
And he was just crazy. This guy was just crazy, Jerry Lee Lewis. But he was highly successful. And so it was a pretty good film, right? Lewis?
Yeah, it was. It was a good film. It kept your attention. It was, as Jerry Lee Lewis was, seemed like a very active film just because of the kind of man that Dennis Quaid is portraying in the movie.
Ironically, Dennis Quaid is kind of like Jerry Lee Lewis in his personal life.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a good match between actor and the character. But again, what about this movie?
Unfortunately, it was also not the one, even though it was rated very well and he had some success, but just not the mega hit.
Yeah. We say here not a disaster, so it wasn't a total failure. But at the same time, again, it was not a big box office smash hit, and it wasn't anything that got people talking too much. Okay, nice film. Thank you very much. We'll see you next year.
Yeah.
All right. Now, 59, Quaid has done what?
He's grown into a different sort of star, and we have a phrase here, he has been tempered by ups and downs and in-betweens. And tempered is one of our vocabulary-focused terms to lessen the force or effect of something. So he's kind of been mellowed out, you know, by life's lessons, all the ups and downs he's had.
Now, I want to clarify something with you, Brian. Now, normally, as a noun, I might say temper. What do I mean if I say temper as a noun? He's got a temper.
You mean that he gets mad very easily.
Yeah. So this is a whole different usage of the word as a verb, right? Tempered.
That's
right.
Or
to temper something.
Totally different meaning.
To soften it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, well, this happens with a lot of people, whether they're actors or business people, no matter what you're doing, teachers, by the time you reach age 59, you are tempered and you're not bothered so much by the ups and downs and you kind of keep it all in perspective. And he has a really pretty good perspective on things. Lately, Quaid, what about his audiences?
It says audiences first came to know him in the lovely Breaking Away movie that was of 1979. And later as an astronaut, Gordon Cooper, in the grandly eccentric film version of The Right Stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And it says here, finishing, has pushed himself into challenging territory. If any of you have seen many of Dennis Quaid movies, you will realize when they say that pushed him into challenging territory, it's partly because each film is so different he's been in. That's what I found. It's not like he's always being the same character.
Right. Now, first off, I want to explain to our readers, if you look at that sentence, just go from lately, comma, to right at the end, has pushed himself into challenging territory. Okay, so lately the guy has. And then there's all this stuff in between after that first comma. So we first came to know him in Breaking Away. What was that about?
Okay, that's an interesting movie. That's a long time ago, and I'm going to be totally honest with our listeners right now. It's the year I graduated from high school, so it was 1979.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. And you know what? When you look at the movie, you can tell it's 1979, folks, and it's a movie about... The lead character wasn't Dennis Quaid. It's
right.
About another young guy, and I don't even know the actor's name now, who wants to be a professional cyclist, an Italian professional cyclist.
Okay, so it's about these young guys who are actually, they're bicyclists, and they're, you know, they want to be professional racers, thinking about like the, you know, Tour de France type of racing. So that's what Breaking Away is about.
Yeah.
That movie. And it's a pretty good movie. It's dated, but it is a good movie. And then we see a whole different departure for him in this next one.
He's playing an astronaut in the next one, Gordon Cooper.
A real person.
A real person. It's based on history.
Yeah.
In a movie called The Right Stuff, which was quite a big movie in its own right that came out in 1983. And here it's described as being grandly eccentric.
What do we mean?
Well, I guess that means that it's kind of making a grand statement, or it's kind of exaggerating the truth a little bit to show the story here. I'm not as familiar with that one. Lois, you said that Gordon Cooper was a test pilot?
Yeah, he was a test pilot.
Yeah, and actually what this movie is about is they were about the first seven astronauts in the Mercury space program with NASA. These guys were the first pilots. And it's a true story, and several other, John Glenn being one of the first astronauts. They were test pilots promoted.
Yeah.
And you have to realize how risky this was. They were venturing into uncharted territory. Being a test pilot is very dangerous. But then they're saying, okay, we're going to put you in these rockets that we don't know are going to work or explode or what. So that's what The Right Stuff is about, the first seven guys that did this.
And they must have had the right stuff in regards to – they must have been a little bit crazy to even sign up for it in my books.
A little bit. So they thought they could do anything.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's do this. Let's have our second reading for today.
Quaid's latest film. In the new independent drama At Any Price, written and directed by Ramin Barani of Man Push Cart, Chop Shop, and Goodbye Solo, Quaid plays a third-generation Iowa farmer buckling under the pressures of expansion, competition, infidelity, and a plot turn involving the son played by Zac Efron. That leaves Quaid's character, Henry Whipple, with metaphorical and literal blood on his hands. At Any Price, filmed in Illinois and made for an exceedingly thrifty $4 million, is no one's idea of a big summer movie. I basically did it for free, Quaid says, laughing. It's a film an actor chooses to make for reasons other than compensation or a percentage of the gross. Recently, Quaid spent a half hour of his birthday talking about fame, success, acting, and learning to act less.
Okay, We just covered a little bit of Dennis Quaid's background, some of the movies that he's done in the past, but now we get a read on Quaid's latest film.
Yes, we look at the challenging territory he's entering. And in this new film, it's an independent drama called At Any Price, written and directed by a man named Ramin Bahrani, who has made some of these other independent films we see here. So independent drama. Bill, how would you describe an independent drama?
Well, in this case, normally we might have studios that actually are producing movies. For instance, Christopher Nolan is producing a Batman movie. He has signed up, I believe it was maybe with Sony Pictures or Warner Brothers, one of those. And they have a contract with them, and they're going to provide the financing for the movies and all the production, and there's teamwork in there. But an independent drama, the director gets private financing. It's not tied in with any studios. And the director and the financial backers will go make this movie, then try to sell the movie to a studio or to just a distributor. So that's what we mean independent. It's not done in conjunction with a studio. So, and there are some very good independent films that do come out. It's risky. Usually there are lower price on this, lower cost, which we'll read about in a moment. So, and young directors are usually trying to get a start in this. This Ramin Bahrani has directed 10 movies. Most of them you may not know about. But in this one, he's got Dennis Quaid playing what kind of role?
Okay, he's playing a third-generation Iowa farmer. For some of our overseas listeners, that's a state in the United States. It's in farm country. And he's
right in the middle?
Right in the middle. That's yep. Right, Bill. Mm-hmm. And it's buckling under the pressures of expansion, competition, and then we have the word infidelity, which obviously is describing the lead character, and plot turn, and oh my goodness, and there's parts with the son involved, and the son in this movie is played by somebody very famous right now.
Yeah, Zac Efron. So now, we'll get into that in a moment. I think Brian's very familiar with Iowa. Your parents are living there right now, aren't they?
My parents are in the process of moving there. Yeah, okay. My sister lives there, and I was born there.
Oh, we have a natural-born Iowan right here in the studio. Now, buckling under, what do we mean?
To be defeated by a difficult situation. You might say you cave in or you just crumble under the pressure of something. Maybe it's stress or a tough challenge you're facing. So it sounds like this farmer character has a lot of different challenges he's facing.
Yeah, you can just picture the guy maybe in the office or in your company who's been working about 50 hours of overtime for the last 6 months. That's the kind of person who might be buckling under, just finally collapses. Now we talk about the farmers worried about expanding as far as having to make the farm bigger. Of course, very competitive, very price competitive. Infidelity, what do we mean?
Infidelity, that word means not being faithful, not being loyal.
Okay. So maybe the character in this film has an affair with a woman who's not his wife.
Right, and that usually means he is married, but he's having this affair, you're right, Bill, with somebody who isn't his wife.
Okay. And then this a plot turn. Explain this last part of this sentence.
Yeah, there's a plot turn. Something happens that kind of turns the whole story on its head here involving the son played by Zac Efron. And it must involve some kind of a violence or something because it leaves Henry Whipple, the main character, with metaphorical and literal blood on his hands. So that probably kind of turns the whole story into a new direction there.
Okay, so when we say here plot turn, it's unexpected, it's totally different, something that happens, changes the tempo of the movie. Now, this is rather complicated here. This plot turn leaves Randy Quaid's character, Henry Whipple, this last part, with metaphorical and literal blood on his hands. Help me out with that.
Okay, well, we're going to look at our specialized terms first on this, Bill. And metaphorical means not having real existence, but representing some truth about a situation or other subject.
Okay. Now, normally we would use metaphor as a noun to say, well, this is a metaphor for something else. So it is often a situation that's compared to a real life example. For instance, I might say, she is the light of my life. So, she's not really an actual light bulb, but is somebody that brings me happiness or something. Or buying a home is like getting married. And, you know, meaning there's that commitment there for the next 25 or 30 years. So that's what a metaphor is. So we're saying there's an example here of, you know, a feeling that he has of having maybe blood on his conscience, but he also has literal blood on his hands.
Yeah.
That's right. Literal meaning he has real blood that you can see on his hands.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we have something – when we have blood on our hands, then it just means that we have got, you know, actually something that we've been responsible
for. Exactly. We might have killed someone.
Yeah.
Or we might have killed an animal or
right. –
yeah.
Right. And we might say like a drunk driver has blood on their hands. They
right.
may not have intended to do it, but they still did if they actually did injure or kill somebody.
Right.
So they have literal blood on their hands then in that case. Now, At Any Price, which was filmed in Illinois, another state that Brian lived in for many years, and it was made for – it was made on the cheap, right?
That's right. An exceedingly thrifty $4 million. And thrifty does mean something that's very cheap, that has a very low budget. It's more economical, so this is exceedingly thrifty. So this is a super cheap movie at $4 million because I suppose a lot of the big stars, they would get paid at least that much just to be in a movie.
Well, exactly. Yeah. A cameo appearance, I think, Brian.
Normally they would. Some of the big hits I mentioned, like the James Bond movies, they cost $100 million to make. Some movies cost $200 million to make. So, and what does Dennis Quaid say about this discount movie he made?
Right. We have this in quotes, Bill. It says, "I basically did it for free." So in other words, he didn't charge the price he can normally acquire for himself when he's doing a movie. It would be token change to him.
Yeah. Now, there's a reason actors choose to make these films, and it's not, they're not doing it for the money or the compensation, right?
That's right. There's other reasons. I'm imagining ahead of time that maybe one of the reasons is maybe he wants to be nominated for a special award. Maybe I remember certain actors in the past have done this where they take a pay cut like this and then they end up getting nominated, and maybe his status as an actor's actor will go up even higher after this movie.
Right. There might be something missing in their career, a certain type of role. Maybe they always play comedy actors and then they want to make a dramatic appearance in a movie. So they're looking for something just different.
Exactly. When you say that, I think of the actor John Cusack. He's kind of done that.
Yeah.
Everybody thought of him as a comedian and then he was getting more and more roles that are, kind of more serious.
Yeah. So, okay, that's why an actor will do it. We see also percentage of the gross there. Sometimes actors will take like 2% or 1% of the overall gross of the movies as compensation. But he didn't do it in this movie. Dennis Quaid just did it for a very small amount of money. So we're getting into what he talked about tomorrow. As we say here, we finished with Quaid spent half an hour on his birthday talking about some of the things in his past and learning some things. We'll get into that tomorrow. Come on back then. We'll see you.